All right, so why don't we talk a little bit here at the end about the upcoming roster expansion. As everybody, I'm sure, knows, on Thursday, the active roster expands from 25 to 40, and we get to see some potential September call-ups. And this is usually actually a bigger deal when your team is not in contention, because they're a little bit more willing to not only call up certain players, but also get them some significant playing time. Obviously, one example might be the final game of last season when we had Mike McHenry batting third, which
is special.
Which would not have happened, obviously, if we were, you know, headed for a potential postseason appearance. So I'm wondering, first of all, and I'll certainly answer this question as well, depending on what you say. But who are you interested in seeing called up or getting an opportunity personally, and also who do you think are there any names out there that you think are sort of dark horses but yet people to consider giving a shot to in terms of calling them up for September and seeing what happens?
Well, the first and obvious name to throw into this discussion is Will Rosario, our top catching prospect down in AA Tulsa. He hasn't had the greatest season known to man, but he's also not been miserable, and he's very, very promising. And Musia wrote on Purple Row, he made a fan post suggesting that maybe Will Rosario is a, you know, somebody who kind of falls in the gifted and talented student category.
Oh, man, I can identify with that. I didn't read the fan post, but I am almost certain what you're saying is that when he's not being challenged, he's not going to challenge himself.
Precisely. And the when he first made – because remember, Will Rosario made the jump from the Pioneer League to High A Modesto in one season. That is entire – for an 18-year-old player skipping two levels of baseball is just enormous.
Yes.
And last season, he was destroying – destroying is a bit of a strong word, but he was doing a very good job in the Tulsa League – or the Texas League in Tulsa before he had his knee wrecked. And now that his knee's back, he just kind of, well, here I am, I'm doing this again, and
yeah,
so he keeps doing it.
It's kind of like an appearance of floating. He's kind of there. It's not like he's embarrassing himself, but he's also not playing to the tune of a breakout future star.
Precisely. And what was interesting, and these are some of the points that Musio made in his article, and we won't talk about Rosario too much more, because this has been discussed a lot on the site, especially in that fan post. But if you look at his numbers the week after the Futures game, and they think, and the Rockies dangled this Futures game to say, look, dude, this is the big stage. You could be on this big stage all the time, but you got to step it up. The week after that big stage appearance, he batted like 400, something like, you know, just had a huge batting week.
Right.
And then he kind of cooled back down.
Right.
Then when Alex White and Drew Pomeranz joined in the rotation in Tulsa, Rosario's numbers kind of picked themselves back up again.
Interesting. I checked the minor league box scores every day, but I didn't really notice that was,
you'd have to kind of take a look. I mean, cause Matt went and did a little bit of, fishing around for this, cause, and even he'll admit that he's not using the best scientific method for this, but he's just saying it's a correlation. There's not necessarily,
right,
it's not necessarily causality, but seeing, being with two elite guys, one of them who's going to be in the rotation in a matter of weeks and the other one who's going to be in the rotation in a matter of months, major league rotation, that is, it might have been kind of a, hey, you could be working with these guys all the time, but you got to give us something. So he'll be an interesting choice for a September call-up. If they do give him the call-up, I don't even know what to think about it. I'll cross that bridge when I get there, because as it stands, I'm already infuriated by the catcher platoon splits. But Rosario would be an interesting one to kind of be the next carrot to dangle in front of him. If he makes it, if he goes and tears it up, great. Say, hey, you're competing for the job in the spring. Take it if you want it.
Mm-hmm.
And Ionetta's going to have to fight for it too, and we'll see who takes it. And I think that the guy with the proper motivation will be awesome, but I don't know what to make of him. I'm the kind of person who values a balanced batting style where you can hit for decent average, you walk a good amount, and you hit for good power. But Rosario is much more of a hit for average, hit for power kind of guy, but he doesn't walk much at all. My comparison, it's not a great comparison, but it's at least something to look at. Pablo Sandoval, before he came up to the majors, bad play discipline, but, you know, a lot of contact. And then he came up to the majors and just kept that going. That would be the thought on what Rosario could be doing. Okay. At least in my estimation. So he's one of the thoughts there. Other guys will probably see.
I would just break in to remind everybody that since we didn't do a podcast, since we got the news that Drew Pomeranz is likely going to be sidelined through the rest of the minor league season, and therefore as a result probably not looking at much of a chance, pretty much zero chance to be called up as a September call-up, is certainly – it kind of felt when the news broke that this is just, this is this 2011 season right here. Just stuff like this happens constantly. But, you know, I'm not really sure personally that they were even going to call him up for September. I know a lot of people were throwing that around, but there was really no pressing need to do that, especially if we weren't, in any need of serious pitching at that point. But at the same time, the argument I used earlier in that the non-contending team can actually have a benefit of calling these people up more quickly, maybe we would have. So it's just it's going to change the end of the season for him. You mentioned before we started recording, he's probably headed to the Arizona Fall League. So that'll be the first time we get to see him really pitch with regularity, at least, post operation. I mean, he only got one start with Tulsa, so not a lot to go on there. But I'm sure anybody with any interest in following his path towards a potential rotation spot next season will be paying attention to him there. I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that, but go ahead and pick up.
I was going to mention Drew Pomeranz, but Leslie, you mentioned him for me. He looked really good in his first Tulsa start. We have the minor league baseball TV package, which is just like MLB TV, but it's minor leagues, and so you get their crappy local feeds, which is usually pretty entertaining because you get the Jumbotron experience where, like, between innings, they, like, put the camera on people in the crowd, and you get the stupid little, like, it was Elvis night, I believe, on Alex White's final start. It was very entertaining. Anyways, Pomeranz looked, I'm not going to bother going to the scouting too much there because it was a Friday night or whatever night it was. I was exhausted and I was watching and enjoying, but not, you know, didn't have my scout pencil out or anything like that. My radar gun was, you know, somewhere else. But Pomeranz, he looks adjusted. He looks comfortable in the Texas League. And we got to remember the Texas League is very good baseball. And a quick tangent. I won't take too much time on this, but they say the double A's for coming up, triple A's for going down, and double A's kind of becoming the final developmental stop for a lot of Major League Baseball organizations, because when you need a triple A, that kind of becomes like this holding pattern place for prospects who are kind of on that cusp. They're not ready to make the jump, but they're too good for the Texas League or whatever double A league they're playing in. Or major league veterans who are designed to be the seventh starter, who are brought in to be like a Joe Creedy type, who's there in case Ian Stewart craps the bed. And boy, would I have loved to see Joe Creedy this season.
We probably all those shenanigans about him deciding not to sign with us after all hadn't happened.
Cat's trying to eat my microphone cable. That's not good. Anyways, having said that, I almost picture AAA as being like something out of Mad Max or something like that, where, you know, you get promoted to, you know, AAA and you're thrown in this trash heap of failed major league starters and veterans just looking for their last shot and disgruntled quadruple A players who are thinking I should be in the majors right now as they take a long drag from a cigarette and, you know, flick it into a pool of gas it sets on fire. You know, it's like the junkyard of baseball or something like that. At least it entertains me very greatly to say it like that. I've been to a lot of AAA games and they're very professional in the way they play things and stuff. Just, you get the idea. So Pomeranz is the kind of guy who's going to make some Arizona Fall League starts. He's going to compete for rotation slot in 2012 during spring training. And whether or not he gets there is a different story, but he'll probably – I can't imagine them starting him in AAA if he doesn't make the Major League rotation. They'll probably stick him back in the Texas League just to get things going. And if he's still dominating in AA like I'm really expecting him to, he'll be getting the call midseason. Maybe even earlier, maybe even post-April, post-May, something like that. As for other call-ups, there's a handful of obvious guys that are going to get called up.
Probably. Chris Nelson will be back. Josh Reneke will be back.
Yeah, Reneke will be back. Probably Mortensen and Reynolds, just to provide some sort of inning relief, because really September will be kind of your month for Lindstrom, for Belisle, for Street, for Betancourt, just to say, guys, we'll get you some time in there, but the season's over. We're just going to get some of these young guys and have them take a couple bullets for you here. We'll probably see Matt Pagnazzi, if you're listening, Bion, that's for you.
Yeah.
He'll probably be back up. They might call up Pacheco, but I'd be really interested to see what they do with him, if they start him as a catcher or if they try to play him at first, third, and catcher, or what they're going to do. I haven't been impressed by him. I don't see much reason to have him come up other than just like, hey, you're in the big leagues. Isn't that exciting?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he might even be someone to consider for fall ball, but not really. He's so borderline. Like, he kind of peaked in Tulsa, but then he looks like crap in AAA, and I don't know what to make of him. He was never really high on my list of prospects anyways, but again, that's just me. The one player that I mean, we'll probably see guys like Cole Garner. When Edge Rascal alone is healthy, he'll be back.
It's tough to tell about Garner because he's been injured so much this season, and mm-hmm. he's injured again. So is Ian Stewart, by the way.
Yeah.
That's one name that would be interesting. It'll be interesting. I mean, it's possible that if they choose to add anybody like Christian Friedrich or somebody to the list a little early, these are people, players who would be protected and added to the roster by the reserves deadline anyway, but it's not unheard of. And in fact, in 2009, we did this a lot. We called up like four players and just to put them on the disabled list. We called up Greg Reynolds, disabled list. Called up Greg Smith, disabled list. Called up Chris Nelson, disabled list. And so these guys are earning service time for this, but at the same time, they're not really active, and it gives you extra 40-man spots, and you can work out all the roster crunches later. And this whole season has basically been one giant, we'll work out the roster crunch later, because there's been a roster crunch the entire year, and I've brought it up every podcast, basically, and it's going to be so interesting once we get to that November 20th, when all those spots have to be resolved and we have to be down to 40, for sure, and everybody has to be off the 60, how it's all going to shake out.
So I guess you mentioned Ian Stewart. I think he's more of a topic for discussion than the rest of the guys, because people like Nelson, people like Garner, I mean, assuming he's healthy, Mortensen, Reynolds, the quadruple A-ish guys, they'll have their point of, you know, competition in the spring. Maybe they'll make it, maybe they won't. We'll see what happens with Ryan Spielborg, things like that.
Right.
But with Stewart, we're not dealing with another quadruple A kind of guy. I mean, people will, who are looking at it overly pragmatically and think that they have the big picture, you know, already nailed down, will just make the broad statement, Ian Stewart's a quadruple A player, sorry, game over, you tried. And, you know, that's depressing, especially from a first-round pick. But Stewart just doesn't – he has – I mean, even Tulowitzki is saying this guy's talented beyond all belief, but he just can't figure it out. And which I think is a little arrogant of a guy who's a year older than him to say, but it's kind of the fact of the matter that, yeah, Stewart has a lot to show still, because he's shown some potential of what he can be. And he's not, if you played him for the entire season, even this year, he wasn't going to be as bad as April suggested, but
that was pretty bad. Yeah, exactly.
I think he was still hurt, and then the team just, he did not get a fair
shake. I agree, and I remember there being so much controversy right as the roster for April 1st was about to be settled, and everybody was terrified that they were going to put Ian Stewart on the disabled list in favor of Willy Tavares. And
seriously.
It's almost funny how that might have been a better move than dragging an unhealthy Ian Stewart straight into the season. You know, obviously Ian Stewart has shown problems in previous years. This isn't a sudden indictment of his talent, but I mean, it seems kind of like this was this wasn't quite a make or break season for Stewart in the entirety of his potential career, because, you know, maybe even if we non-tender him, for example, even if we trade him, whatever, he's going to get a shot with someone else. But it just seems so funny that all that terror that we weren't going to have Ian Stewart to start the season, and yet if we had waited a little longer, who knows? I'm not saying that I can see into this alternate universe or whatever, but maybe if he had an extra 3 weeks, 2 weeks to heal on rehab assignment, he would have been a completely different player during the rest of the year. Who knows?
Well, that's and really with Stuart and Iannetta, and I got to keep this real short because we're almost out of time. We've gone quite a while here, 55 minutes it looks like. But Stuart and Iannetta both fall under a similar batting style where they don't hit for great average, although Stuart was scouted to be a great hitter for average. They both hit for good power, not necessarily just home runs, but hitting extra base hits, putting the ball in the gaps, just, you know, being able to muscle the ball somewhere. And they both walk a decent amount. Stuart, I mean, they both walk very well, actually. Iannetta obviously better than Stuart, but it's a lot of, it's a good walk rate for both of them. Very good walk rate, in fact. And Iannetta is more, almost like superhuman, but it kind of depends on how you want to look at it. But Tracy has very clearly showed a distaste for those batting styles. And I'm, once again, I'm holding a lot of this off because I'm going to have a piece about Jim Tracy before season's end, and I don't want to play all my cards too early, but the amount of playing time that Eliezer Alfonso is getting is disgusting when you consider how bad Eliezer Alfonso is and how good Iannetta has been this season. And just using that as the example, Iannetta is the starter, quote-unquote, I suppose. He was named the starter and handed the job, and then instead, it's like, hey, how often can I play my crappy backups? I mean, if it was Torrey Alba doing one of his traditional, I'm going to post a 220 batting average with, you know, few walks and no power to speak of for 4 months of the season, and the final 2 months of the season suddenly bat like 370, then sure, make it a fight then. Make Iannetta earn his playing time. But until then, he's honestly looking for excuses to take playing time away from Chris Iannetta. And people who know me and been listening for a while know that it's like a personal thing, but we can translate this directly to Ian Stewart. And as long as there is a stable of other crappy quadruple A third base options to play, he's going to give it to them instead of Stewart. Granted, Stewart,
even if
have,
it's Ty Wigginton.
Even if it's Ty Wigginton's not bad. I am so, no, Ty Wigginton's been the best third base we've had all season.
Yes, granted, no, that's, I agree with that.
It's very sad to say, but he's not been this like automatic out that everyone makes him out to be.
No,
yes,
he has.
He's had dry spells, but you should have seen Gonzalez's April and Tulowitzki's May. Bad months, and then everyone says, oh, well, at least they make it up with the blue. Yeah, whatever, I don't care. You're not being fair in the way you're judging Ty Wigginton. Wigginton has done more than has been asked for him, and as long as Jim Tracy has guys like Wigginton, and then Chris Stewart, or Jose Lopez, or Kevin Kuzmanoff, or whoever, to play over Ian Stewart, he's going to play them over Ian Stewart. Mm-hmm. He's not going to give Ian Stewart time to even try to get into a group. He's going to say, you got 3 games, and if you don't do it, you're done for. And even if Ian Stewart does get on a decent little run, the minute he goes over, he's benched, and that there's no way that Stewart's going to succeed in the system because there's too much, you know, Jim Tracy appealing competition for him. Most other managers in Major League Baseball aren't going to put up with Stewart's crap if he's really just lazing around and whatnot, and I wouldn't expect him to. But we're just talking about give the guy a freaking chance to get in line. Oh my God, the guy is not being set up for success. He's being set up to fail and tank, and that is not a good way for this team to be managing, you know, struggling players. Really, do we really think that Kevin Kuzmanoff is going? I mean, he's obviously Stewart is hurt right now, but do we really think that other options, as we've seen them this season, are going to really outperform a guy who's shown at least the potential to be a league average bat in a plus glove?
Well, when it comes to Kuzmanoff, I don't really know what they're thinking here. That's not to say that the trade doesn't necessarily make sense, but I also don't really know what their intentions are. Kuzmanoff is going to be arbitration eligible I'm not sure how many times because he didn't get a full year service time, but I guess that really doesn't matter. Point being, he's an option for being considered to be a Stewart replacement for next season. Along with Ty Wigginton and other people that we currently have signed at this point. Chris Nelson probably even falls into that discussion. But, Ian Stewart, still there, would be irresponsible to forget about him.
I'm hoping they can give him a shot at being traded elsewhere, give him a shot with any other manager. just not Jim Tracy, because I think we're stuck with Jim Tracy next year as well, despite the fact that I don't think we should be. Stewart, I mean, I'll send him to Clint Hurdle. Not that Pedro Alvarez is bad at third base, or, well, he's not great at third base. He's actually kind of a questionable third baseman from everything I've read. But if you have to make that move early, I mean, I guess they're playing Garrett Jones at first still. If you can move him back to right or left or something like that, and move Pedro Alvarez to first, put Stewart at third, give the guy a shot. Clint Hurdle will at least give him some sort of playing time. Hurdle's good with younger players. At least once they get to that certain age, at a certain point, we've talked about this before, he kind of loses them because he's more of a teacher developer than he is a major league winner kind of manager. But I think that he'd do well under Clint Hurdle. Clint Hurdle's not a bad manager, especially for the kind of player that Stewart is and where he is. And what do they got to lose? What do they got to lose? I mean, they brought in Atkins in 2011 in spring training. Granted, Atkins got cut, but, you know, I don't know, give him a chance, I guess. I don't know.
Well, what I was trying to say there was I think it's pretty likely that they're going to try and trade Ian Stewart over the offseason. And I think it's also pretty likely that even as low as they're selling, that somebody's going to take it. So I don't think it's really that unlikely that that's exactly what we see go down there.
So that's Stewart. I mean, even if they do call him back up, I think they're just going to leave him buried in the disabled list the rest of the season. It's going to be, I get the distinct impression this is going to be a rough goodbye for Ian Stewart.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. We'll see if they call him up to get playing time or call him up to just be a DL spot. I don't know. I don't really know how serious his injury is either. It's a wrist thing. And I'm led to believe, just by circumstances, that it's not very serious, because my impression is they tried to keep him off the DL for as long as possible. He only got into one game since being optioned, which is 2 weeks ago, and he only went on the disabled list a couple days ago. So that goes to show you he spent a week plus unable to play, but active on the roster. Not because they couldn't get somebody there in 9 days. If it's 2 days, that makes sense. If they wait to do the move for 2 days, fine. But not for a whole week. I definitely got the pretty solid impression that they were at least partially optimistic that he was going to be able to jump back in by this point. So we'll see what happens there. Anyway, we're now at 58 minutes. So
summarizing the call-ups. Okay. This is one thing we kind of been missing out on this. There's no one that exciting we're calling up, except for potentially Will Rosario. And with other seasons, there's been a Dexter Fowler to call up. There's been a, you know, Ubaldo Jimenez to call up. There's been guys of that caliber to call up in September and make a difference.
Well,
this season,
to be fair, last year's September call-ups were pretty much the most underwhelming ever. So.
Oh, yeah, and it's going to be another season just like that, where the guys who are going to get called up are just going to be our depth guys, because there's not a hot prospect ready to go, and Pomerantz would have been the closest to that. But seeing how he's out for the season, yeah, I mean, we've already called up Rex Brothers. And that's about the most exciting guy who's not named Rosario or Pomerantz or White that has been, you know, in line to call up.
Right. Yeah, and obviously, if we hadn't added Charlie Blackman either, he would have been in line for that as well, because he would have needed to have been protected. But that's not true anymore. He's already protected. Anyway, we're now at 59 minutes. So before I get something that's completely impossible to upload, I think we better go ahead and take off for now. I think we'll do another show next week. I'm still toying with the idea of making this bi-monthly as opposed to weekly, but we've taken like two of the last 4 weeks off, and it seems like at the very least we should try going weekly at least through the rest of the season, and then we'll reevaluate from there. Again, I can't promise I know exactly what day these are going to go up at this point. I've got a busy schedule, and with all the technical issues, it's still a little bit of an adventure to get that all set up. But we'll aim for sometime around September 6th or 7th for the next episode. And so until then, on behalf of both of us, we'll see you next week. Take care.